You.
Right there in your life, your world, rejoice. Why? Just so that you can feel good? Not at all. Because the Lord is with you. And joy is God's gift to you. And He wants joy to be the gift out of which you give to other people. That's the greeting that was given to Mary by the angel Gabriel when he tells her that the one that our world has been waiting for, our Savior, our friend Jesus, was going to come into the world to her. And then here's what happens as we pick up that story. We're learning, walking through the message of the coming of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. So this is chapter 1, verse 39. As soon as she's done talking to Gabriel, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been told now they're going to give birth to, in their old age, a boy who's going to be John the Baptist. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now, one of the things that you notice in this passage is there's a tremendous sense of energy in it. As soon as the angel has finished greeting Mary, we're said, at that time, Mary hurries, she makes haste, she gets up to go visit Elizabeth. Now, she's not commanded to do this. The angel didn't say anything about this. Ordinarily, when a woman was pregnant in that day, particularly a young girl, Mary's probably 13 or 14, something like that, and she's not yet married to Joseph, she would remain in seclusion. But no, she got to connect with somebody. You know, part of the gift that we have together at Become New, Fellowship of the Withered Hands, we connect with each other. And that's deeply a part of this passage. The joy that comes from God being with us enables us also to connect with each other. And Mary says, "I want to go see Elizabeth." Now, people often think about Mary as this very kind of calm, quiet, dignified person. One commentator actually says that haste, being in a hurry, would not be compatible with her piety. So he translates it with serious intent. But that's not what the text says. You might be thinking, hey, Dallas Willard says I'm supposed to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life. Well, much of the time, yeah, but not always. Sometimes hurry is a good thing. And in this case, Mary is in a hurry. There is something inside her that cannot wait to be with Elizabeth. Tell you how serious this is. She's going from up in Nazareth, where she was, down a little bit south of Jerusalem. Folks who write about this sort of thing say this would be something like 80 miles. 80 miles in pretty dangerous territory around the hills. There's lots of curves, lots of bandits. Most likely Mary would have had to walk that, and she's pregnant. Are you kidding? She could not wait to get there. This is a woman with a serious level of energy. And then she comes to Elizabeth's home, and she goes in there and notice this. She greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. She filled with a loud voice. She exclaims, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to meet me as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears?" Why is it such a big deal that Mary's greeting keeps being emphasized here? Well, because of what's going on. What Elizabeth sees is now Mary, who had been this unimportant young woman, no particular reason for her to be exalted. God now is exalting the lowly. It's begun. But then when Mary is so exalted, when she's told she's going to be the mother of the Son of God, the Most High, ordinarily the way that our world works is that would mean she's really exalted, so everybody's supposed to come to her. But no, instead, she goes to Elizabeth. Instead of waiting for Elizabeth to come and greet her, she enters into Elizabeth's house and greets her. So the lowly are being exalted, But now the exalted are going out and looking for people that they can connect with, looking for people that they can love. Mary wants to find a way to bless Elizabeth. Elizabeth, oh, that's how this is going to work. This is really good. And so, not in her inside voice, Elizabeth then blesses Mary. Mary goes to bless, to greet, to love Elizabeth. And in return, Elizabeth loves Mary. And then little fetal John the Baptist says, I got to get in on this too. And he leaps. We're told this twice in the story. Elizabeth actually says he leapt for joy. Think about when a baby is inside a mother's tummy. And sometimes if that's a person that you're real connected with, when that little baby is leaping, they'll say, here, put your hand right here. And he's leaping. How does she know he's leaping for joy? Lots of other things can make a little fetus leap. Well, the Holy Spirit has come on her. God is real deeply involved in all of this stuff. And we talk about this in our day, jumping for joy. Why would you do that? Jumping is not efficient. It's an expenditure of energy. Just stay lower to the ground. You get there much more easily. That's the whole point. We leap when we just must, in an exuberant and gratuitous way, give an expenditure of energy that shows our delight, our wonder, our appetite for being alive in this remarkable world. So today, leap for joy. We find this in Scripture in a number of places, but one that's particularly apt for this passage is back in 2 Samuel, when the ark is being brought to Jerusalem in the day of King David. Now, you might remember that the ark was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was what expressed the presence of God amongst his people Israel. David, in fact, says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? Kind of like Elizabeth says, how can the mother of my Lord? Mary is kind of like the ark of the new covenant. She's sometimes called that. David's going to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. And so we're told that he does that with rejoicing. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark. Sometimes people don't like that. Michael, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping for joy and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Looks silly, looks foolish, looks undignified. I know, joy is that way, but when David talks about this, he says, when he recognizes God's goodness to him, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. And we were told after he finished sacrificing burnt offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. He gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person. Great joy, great leaping, great blessing, great giving. Because now God is present, because God is here. Whatever else is going on, whatever problems there are, and of course that little baby in Elizabeth's womb is going to be killed, and that little baby in Mary's womb is going to be killed when they are quite young men. But it doesn't change the fact that God is going to be using them, that God is coming through them, that there is joy that lies before us, that even Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So today, leap for joy. I was thinking in reading this story, there was a kind of a goofy old TV show called Arrested Development. And the central character, this woman named Jessica Walters, periodically is surprised by a private investigator, Gene Parmesan. And he shows up and she's not expecting him. And every time she does, she shrieks with delight, Gene Parmesan, you got me again. And she just jumps up and down. He's there where you don't expect him. In a manger, for crying out loud, in a carpenter shop. There he is. We have a little Labrador pupper named Cooper, and Cooper is wildly exuberant. I go down and get him out of the cage. You'd think he'd be upset that I kept him in a cage all night, but they're den animals. He gets up, and he leaps for joy. We have a two-year-old granddaughter, Francie, and if you ask Francie, how does Cooper go? She'll go like that. But when Francie sees you, when she sees me, it's almost like she forgot that I was alive and that all of a sudden she's delighted to find out there, Appa, she'll shout like that. And there's this kind of a leap for joy. Now, when it comes to this command to rejoice, this is real important. We don't do this just so that we can have the private experience of feeling good. We were made to become new creatures with Jesus. The old language for this is to be sanctified, to be whole, and to be healthy. And that is not the same thing as just being in a good mood. Life is about more than just trying to be in a good mood. If it's that, then it becomes shallow and superficial and quite often really, really mindless. Authentic joy is quite compatible with deep suffering and with deep sorrow, but it's the recognition that being is good, that life is good, that you have been filled with more gifts than you have any idea. It is an echo of what God himself did when he made creation and he looked at it. He said, it's good, it's good, it's good. Light, that's good. And darkness and day and earth and land and water, that's good. And trees and bushes and flowering plants and the Leviathan, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and especially human beings made in his own image. And above all, the ultimate human being, the man who came in the name of God. Very good, very good. So today, find joy in the simplest things. C.S. Lewis writes in Letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer, about how he learned to use pleasures as shafts of adoration. To follow the sunbeam up to the sun, what kind of God must God be to create bodies and sunlight and life and creatures and mountains and books and let there be schools and great thoughts and parents and children and music and dancing and leaping? Today, find joy and then give joy and get creative with it. Leaping, again, part of the idea of joy is I look to create value and I do it in ways that aren't necessary, that may not be efficient. As part of the giving of gifts at Christmas, we're going beyond being strategic and efficient here. We're reveling in the gratuitous goodness of the kingdom of God and his abundance. So how can I give that to other people? I was talking to my friend Sam yesterday. Sam is real good at this kind of stuff. And he was telling me he was at Apple, the company Apple, and a guy who's there invited Sam to come visit the campus and go on a tour. And this guy is kind of a muckety-muck, a highly placed guy at Apple, ended up taking Sam on the tour himself. Now, when Sam found out that he was going to lead the tour, Sam's response was, man, I'm selling my Apple stock right now. If somebody in your office has nothing better to do than give tours of the campus, this company got serious problems. Now, when he said that, what Sam was saying was, that's really kind and generous of you to take time out of what I know is your very busy schedule to show me around the campus, but it would be no fun to put it like that. Anybody could say that. So Sam makes it sound like he's selling off his Apple stock because this guy must have nothing to do. He's like injecting energy and joy and teasing and fun, and you got to connect the dots. And he does that in wonderful ways. I wish I could do that sometimes. I don't do that in that way. Nancy and I were at dinner last night with another couple who are friends of ours that we're so grateful for. And they were talking about how there's some people that are just incredibly direct. They just say it. They love to say it really bluntly. They love to get some energy going, to be controversial, to just get kind of spiky. Nancy is so much that way. I wish I could do that more. The guys at dinner was saying to me afterwards, he was talking about Walt, who was at the church that I was at before I was there. He's a really warm and fuzzy guy. You're kind of warm and fuzzy, but you're fuzzy anyhow. I can't be Sam. I can't be Nancy. I can't be Walt. I can't be Francie. But I can be me. And see, part of what I'm to do is I am called to embrace my life, my wiring, my body, with all of my flaws and imperfections, as well as whatever gifts are there, because somehow I too am one who is made in the image of God. And so are you. C.S. Lewis writes in that chapter that I was talking about in the book Letters to Malcolm about how in our world we often think about things like dancing and games and leaping as gratuitous because we live in this valley of tears and we have to suffer and we have work to do and it's often under the curse. And yes, 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 that's all true. But the day is coming when we will be living in another kind of world where all kingdoms will cease that oppose God's kingdom and only his, and then it will be joy. C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven. You were made for joy. Not selfishly, it's because God is a God who gives, and being is good. So today, get to work. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Rejoice. Find joy and create joy for somebody else. And then in the next moment, do it again. For the Lord is with you.
Hey, I'm Tim. We hope that you're enjoying this series, walking through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. If you like this video, be sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, where we have a bunch more content just like this you might be interested in. If you've got a prayer request, there's a team of us that would love to pray for you. You can text your specific request to us at the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. We hope you're having a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.